Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on September 9th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic.
I heard you went to the movies last night.
Yes, I did. Are you going to ask me what I saw?
What did you see?
I saw Sully.
Sully.
And it's a wonderful film, and I'm not going to talk about it because I know you're going to see it tonight.
I am going to see it tonight. I was under the impression I was going to some premiere, but if it's already in the theaters, I guess it's not a premiere.
Well, I don't know. It could be the, I don't know, Westwood premiere, the Hollywood premiere. They do.
Yeah,
them all.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to see it tonight.
It was, it was good. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, don't say any more.
Nothing else.
All right.
Well, you know, we're on the subject of movies. And
speaking of movies. Yeah.
Speaking of movies, a powerful, powerful movement is going on, not just here, Jackie, but all across the country, perhaps all across the world, really. As, you know, drive-in theaters have been out of favor for many, many decades, yet there's a resurgence in outdoor presented films, and there's a reason, because that social aspect and the outdoors, and it's just magical.
What is it about being outdoors? For you know, it's so funny that it brings to mind. I remember when we were kids, we had a summer place in Rockaway Beach in New York. It was a bungalow, and it was a court. You know, and there, you know what a court is? It's like there's like the same number of bungalows on each side, and there's just center, walkway through them.
Yeah. Sometimes there's like a big X in the middle, and that's where all the kids, let's meet at the X.
Yes, exactly. Well, ours didn't have an X. Ours just had the center pathway. But I remember whenever there was a big event during the summer, somebody would bring their TV out into the courtyard, and everybody would gather around in their beach chairs to watch. You know, not necessarily a movie, maybe the man landing on the moon or, some big event. But what makes it so special to watch something like that as opposed to in the comfort of your own living room?
Right. It's the value of community. So we have someone that has made it his life's work to provide people with this sense of community. And we're going to talk to him today. Jackie, who's our guest?
We have a returning guest this morning to talk about one of the more popular events here in the South Bay, Steve Allison from Street Food Cinema. Steve began his career as a writer, adapting the novel A Kind of Warfare into a screenplay for the English Film Council. Steve's credited feature films are Love is the Drug, starring Lizzie Kaplan and Daryl Hannah, and Privilege, starring Nikki Reed. Steve started developing cinema-based live events in 2010 with Outdoor Cinema Food Fest and in 2012 with Street Food Cinema. His career has also moved into television, where he was the event producer and MC for the History Channel's National History Beat competition hosted by Al Roker. Steve is currently working on an IMAX film about the Wright brothers and their invention of the first airplane titled Kitty Hawk for Flyers Productions. So this morning, Steve is going to tell us about the always popular Manhattan Movie Nights, the first of which took place in August, and the next one is scheduled for Saturday, September 17th at the Marriott Manhattan Beach Marriott Golf Course. Steve, welcome back to the program. We're so glad you could join us again this morning.
Thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. There is something really, really special about seeing a movie with a group of people, strangers you don't know, in this intimate way in the evening under the stars. There's something special about it. When was the very first time, Steve, that you saw a film in this way?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, back in the day, like you guys were just talking about at a drive-in.
Okay.
I think it was Bull Durham. I must have seen when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And we smuggled a couple in through the trunk and maybe some little beer on top of it. And got out and then, hung out and watched the whole movie. I don't think I ever went to one with my parents, but I know as a teenager, where I'm from, which is Houston, that was the very first one, I believe, and it's exciting just to go see any movie, that's it.
It is special. What you guys do, is this kind of the essence of what, it means to gather, food, music, and movies. Talk a little bit about the evolution. When was your very, very first event like this?
We started experimenting with this in 2010, and our very first event, we did two in a row at Grand Hope Park downtown, which is right next to Fidham. And what did we do? What was the Johnny Cash movie with Reese Witherspoon?
And Walk the Line.
Yeah. So we opened, we did a private night for a bunch of press and then influencer types. And then we did, I think the second one was Swingers, and we had a whole swing band play, 40 swing band play before Swingers. And that was our opening night and it just killed it. And we sold it out and we were like, okay, we're on to something. So, then we just started trying all kinds of different formulas that first 2 years. And then we came up with what we've kind of advanced the whole experience into, it's a little bit of a concert, it's a lot of a movie, but it's also the food element, there's comedy, we do audience games before the movie that are thematic on the movie with the MC comic, where we pull contestants from the audience, we project the actual game up on the big screen, whether if it's a zombie obstacle course or something if we were doing a zombie movie that night. And we just really tried to bring a collective sense of a giant picnic party to it.
Right. Now, many, many people, when they experience something like Street Food Cinema, who are gonna, from the press or from the critics or whatever, they're going to try to compare this with so many things that have happened in the past. I mean, there's carnivals, there's traveling circuses, there's vaudeville. You guys are kind of incorporating a lot of all of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. We really try to be way more than just a movie, even though that is the core attraction. That's it's the marquee attraction of the night. But, the doors, people start queuing up almost at 4:30 generally, and the door doesn't even open till 5:30, and the movie doesn't even start till 8.
Right.
So, and then we have all this time to fill, and where people want to be on the field, eating, picnicking, communing. A lot of the times, like Southwest is one of our sponsors, and they always do a photo booth. These things, these amazing, cool, you know, slow motion video photo booths. So there's just a whole bunch of activity leading up to the actual movie of the night.
If I wanted to take a girl that I really, really want to be with to on a date, getting her on a blanket. In a very, you know, almost anonymous setting, right? There's people, but they're strangers, so you can do what you want in front of them.
Right.
Yet it's safe, right? Because there's people, right?
Yeah, so it's 100%.
It's that weird combination of security and safety, yet you can do whatever you want because they're strangers and blah, blah, blah. And you got her for hours.
Yeah, and there's lots of snuggling involved once you get to the movie.
That's
but,
perfect date.
Yeah, so you're guaranteed of at least a good snuggle.
Oh,
you
my
know?
Gosh. You've met her. You've entertained her for hours. What a great date.
Yeah,
It's all about getting the girl, isn't it?
It is, Jackie.
It is.
Or the guy.
Yeah.
That's life.
Well, Steve, let me ask you something. Do you determine the type of movie you're going to show based on your venue for the night? Like, if you're in, if you're going to do something in Silver Lake, do you go for something more of a hipster type movie that you think they'll enjoy, or as opposed to something in Manhattan Beach might be more family oriented?
Yes, 100%. So, like, when we're in Silver Lake, we'll do something like I just mentioned, like Swingers or a Fight Club or a Pulp Fiction, you know, something, you know, we'll do R-rated movies, you know, a lot of the time. You know, we shy away from a lot of our movies, but, you know, something like a Pulp Fiction, you know, something that's epic and brilliant, but just not appropriate for younger people. So when we're, you know, Manhattan Beach is definitely like a family vibe and scene. So then we'll go, like we did, the first film we did this year was 16 Candles, a John Hughes film. And then the one that's coming up is E.T., which, you know, is just epic, you know, Spielberg movie.
Films are evergreen. I can't believe how many people haven't seen, like, amazingly iconic films. I was talking with my wife last night at the movie theater, and they're going to be showing a classic movie night at this particular theater. They're going to be showing Dr. Strangelove. Dr. Strangelove. Any human being on this planet who has not seen Dr. Strangelove is putting us all at risk of nuclear war. This is just the thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What a that is the most brilliant singular image. A cowboy saying, you know what, it's broken, I'm going to ride this sucker down.
The nihilism of it all.
It is. Awesome. There's something uncaringly, unflinchingly nihilistic, and I think that that drives home the fact that, hey, you know what, that's kind of stupid. We all want to live.
Yeah. You don't think that. I don't think about this. I mean, Steve, you're in the business, so you probably think about it. But, you know, movies, classic movies that I've seen and taking for granted, you forget that the newer generations probably haven't been exposed to it. I mean, unless they do a remake, you know?
Oh, huge. I mean, most everyone in my office is under 33. And, you know, half of them are under 30, in their 20s.
Right.
And, I mean, I just was absorbing, you know, anything from Annie Hall to Touch of Evil to, you know, any epic large movie, even E.T., you know. And and I forget because I was involved in film very young and I was a writer, so your job is to watch a million movies and learn them and study them. But for the average, you know, person that's 25-ish plus or minus 5 years, you know, there's a lot of amazing cinema to see that you're just not going to have, you know, the bandwidth to see everything that's coming out now than everything that came out then. So a lot of our audience is seeing these movies for the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. Here's a cool example is that Jodie Foster, we did this movie, Silence of the Lambs. We're celebrating the 25th anniversary of it.
Right.
So we're doing this big thing. It's a huge show with a whole bunch of extra add-ons for it to celebrate it. We have like a Hannibal Lecter characters walking through, walking around and doing photo ops. Yeah, it was great. So she calls us up. Well, she didn't call us. Her assistant calls us. And her kids had never seen it. You know, it's 25 years old. Her kids are both in late high school, like seniors and I, in a junior in high school. And they'd never seen it. So we arranged for them to come and be get to experience it. But and then we got her to introduce it, and the crowd goes nuts. But, you know, here's the star of the movie, this epic movie. Her children are 16 and 18, and they'd never seen Silence of the Lambs.
Wow.
But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. And that's the key. It's evergreen, these films. Now, it's not just the films, though. And it's not just the fact that you have this whole wrap-up of entertainment, an MC, but you're also kind of a mini... What can I say? You're a mini institution or industry because you're supporting all these small businesses in their food trucks. Talk about the food.
Okay. Love to. You know, that is also half of our name and half of what we do. So it's, you know, the phenom of food trucks just is a recent phenomenon. But in 2010, that's how we kind of – the whole idea came to be was that we need to figure out something to – capture and bring to a food truck gathering. And what was happening, they had this 13 or 14 food trucks, maybe a little more than that. I can't remember the exact number, but it was a lot of food. So they had a gathering in February of 2010. And they these couple event producers put it on, and it was in a parking lot downtown. It was a boombox and say 20 like food fox, food trucks. That's all it was. 30,000 people descended on this parking lot.
Oh my God.
And then I'm like, I was talking to somebody that was attended it, I was at a coffee shop looking for an idea to start a new business because we did have this friend that had the largest outdoor movie screen in, the West Coast. And we had been talking to him a little, and he was like, yeah, I couldn't believe it. 30,000 people there are just waiting these, lines and just hanging out just because the food trucks. So I'm like, oh my God, but what if we put that, food and a movie goes perfect together. And so it all happened. I got like, that is it. You know, if we can bring these food trucks, but also give some people to do while they're watching it. And then we added the bands and everything else. But in 2010, that's when it all took off. And literally, we figured it out in like 6 weeks how to do it and found a location and launched it in the July of, 5 months later.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. We forget because food trucks are so, they're all over the place now, but we forget how 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was a new thing.
Right.
And it was a big thing.
Right.
It was one of those, where all the planets aligned.
Mm-hmm.
It was the internet, the food truck, the food trucks would go online, mm-hmm. and they all talk to each other and they say, okay, mm-hmm. we're all going to be here on this date at this time. And they would put the word out, mm-hmm. Each of them individually to their own email lists, their own followers.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it just exploded.
It was all like the advent. I think what created and made it possible to happen so make it big so fast was I think it was like what you're saying is like online and Twitter
was driven.
They tweet out every night where they're gonna be.
Right.
And they still do this, but right then you had to be like savvy and get their Twitter handle and then follow them on Twitter and know where they're gonna be, and then
exactly.
they could build an audience. Oh, we're gonna be at this parking lot at 8 p.m. and there'd be 200 people waiting for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's par for the course now, but 6, 7 years ago, that was it. Yeah. It was huge.
I love, entrepreneurship and the building of a business. I love these discussions, and what we're really talking about is you guys are that venue now, just one other venue perhaps for the band or for the food trucks, but a solid venue that they can follow, that they can build a business on and count on that audience being there. That's very special.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all, most of them are mom and pop, and they're, you know, generally they're younger chefs that, you know, can't afford a brick and mortar to all that investment for a brick and mortar.
Right.
So they're bringing, you know, their vision of cuisine to a, you know, a food truck environment, which is a full on kitchen. And then with a reduced menu, and it's real about experimentation and fusion and bringing like Korean food into Mexican food. And it's you're dealing with a lot of mom and pops, but you know, a lot of these guys go on after their food truck, then they start their brick and mortar, you know, restaurant
and,
on top of
and
it.
And it's had the exact opposite effect too. Once this took hold, there are a lot of existing brick and mortar restaurants, you know, that decided, hey, we need a food truck out there.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
a lot of people maybe can't get to our brick and mortar location, you know?
Right.
So it's worked both ways. It's amazing.
It's profitable marketing. It is a new form, or not a new form, but a very popular form of marketing where you're actually selling product and marketing at the same time for your brick and mortar. And it's very popular. And I remember locally here, Ragin' Cajun, Stephen Domingue, who was located in Hermosa Beach for a couple decades and then moved to Redondo Beach now. He was on the Great Food Truck Race, Food Network show. He was on the initial episode of that show, and it was awesome. What an amazing.
He did the food truck in between locations, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yes,
he did. He could not find a permanent location for a while, and the food truck was the main thing for a while. And
have you tried his crawfish bisque? It is so good.
I love
it. It's amazing.
What Stephen does. His food is a staple in our house. All my kids grew up eating his food, and they love it.
Yeah. He's a great character too. He comes out and, you know, he's out there in front of his food truck and, you know, giving out Sam's samples of his bisque, which is probably, I don't know, it's better than any lobster bisque I've ever had. But, you know, he's fun and just a dynamic individual as well.
Right. And that's again, it's not just about the money. It's about the ability to do your thing. He loves entertaining and cooking for people, and he has the ability to do that now, and that's his life, and that's what entrepreneurship is all about, being yourself and making money at the same time.
And now, you know, it's moved even further. I mean, nowadays, any kind of event that you're having, whether it's an art exhibit, an outdoor movie, an outdoor concert, anything. Now you kind of got to have food trucks there.
Yeah. It's much. I mean, catering, I think, really is in transition now, because if you're going to cater for a large event, several thousand people, how are you going to orchestrate the logistics and keep the food hot? As opposed to a food truck, it's just they don't compare in terms of how you can really make things work. And of course, there's the In-N-Out truck. I mean, you know, speaking of large,
Border Grill has a truck.
Mm. Of course, yeah. It's hard to say no to that.
Did I just hear that Border Grill is closing in their Santa Monica location? I just read that.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I just read it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. So,
sidebar.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking movie nights. You're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're going to be talking all about movie night here in Manhattan Beach at the Marriott Golf Course on September 17th. That's going to be that's E.T., just an iconic movie in so many ways. There are images from that movie that the people that know that movie well could say, would say, has influenced many, many, many other films along the way that you just don't know if you have never seen it. And of course, if your children have never seen it, what a magical experience it would be for them. Of course, we'd love to have your comment or question. Give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Operators are standing by. We'd love to talk to you. And let's go on with the conversation.
I have a question getting back to the movie. Well, not the event itself. Steve, is this a year-round? Do you do this year-round or is it seasonal?
It's a question. Is seasonal count for 7 months? You know, that's
In Southern California, it does. I guess it does, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You know, when we started it in July, go July to August the first year, and then we went June to August the second year, and then the third year we went May to, you know, September, and then the fourth year, now we're going all the way the first weekend of May. We're going to the first weekend of November, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we get rained out, you know.
Yeah.
One of those
nights. I was going to say, you skip the rainy season. Fire season's okay. A freeway shooting season's okay. but rainy season, you don't want to fool around with.
Right.
Yeah.
But here in the South Bay, you just do it during the summer in Manhattan Beach.
Yes. Yeah. We partnered, you know, the Manhattan Beach Chamber and the Manhattan Beach Marriott, and which is one of the most gorgeous locations that we have now.
It's
because
perfect.
It's right in the middle of their golf course, which you're in the, you know, it's this gorgeous lake and kids are running around feeding ducks on their lake that's in the middle of the golf course. And they have all that area of an entire golf course just to run around and play.
Right.
And then, you know, the people are lined up in the long fairway right in the middle. And then we got food trucks, and we even have tent vendors that are up by there in the Marriott selling, you know, beer and wine. They have a little, you know, beer and wine booth. And it's just, it's a gorgeous location, and it's just a unique thing that you get to do because most golf courses can't afford to shut down for something like this.
Right.
So it's the only golf course that we're actually able to do it on right now because of this partnership with the Chamber.
Really? That's interesting because I think, obviously, golf courses are ideal. Unfortunately, most golf courses that I know of that are, like, big deal golf courses, they actually have lights and they play through at night.
Well, most golf courses don't want people walking on their greens.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's partly true as well. But then there's the fairways, Jackie, are pretty durable.
It's the fairways that we're on. So
yeah.
and they do not allow people on the green. So we have security and little please don't walk on the green. So you know those are pretty precious.
Yeah. They can't get near the hole. But that's cool. That's fine.
So what other types of venues, if not other golf courses, what other venues do you do this at?
We do it at the Polo Grounds, the Will Rogers Polo Grounds in the Palisades. In Malibu, we do it at King Gillette Ranch, right in the middle, right along this river. We do it in Victory Park in Pasadena. Central Park in Glendale, Poinsettia Park in West Hollywood, Culver City. We do a Sid Cronenthal Park in Culver City. We just cover L.A., and then we've started to do little test shows out of town, like a couple in San Diego and a couple in Phoenix. And, you know, we're trying to, you know, bring it to other cities as well.
So I understand the private venues, the Polo Grounds, the golf course, the ranch. I understand the private venues. How does it work with a public venue like a park?
You know, it's the same thing. It's pretty much we're the same footprint kind of wherever we go, you know, and, you know, we just work with the given municipality that whether it's the state owned park, which the Polo Grounds are actually, the Will Rogers Polo Grounds are owned by the state, or he donated them after he passed away. And then, you know, we go to L.A. City Parks or, you know, Redondo Beach or whoever, whatever municipality we're in, which generally in a public park. as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Fascinating. I mean, now we're getting into the details of how these work. Let's just talk about what's going to happen September 17th. What's the order of events?
Okay. People will get there. The early birds will get there a little early, so they get the best seats in the house if they want to buy just general admission, because there are reserve seats that are just the first 100 closest to the screen. They're a little up ticket price. Mm-hmm. But general admission, you know, which is just as good as if you're the first 100 people at the door. You're right in the center, and it's just perfect. And so people start queuing up anywhere between 5 and 4:30, and then the door opens at 5, and then the band, people come in, they drop their blankets, and then they head to the food vending and the food trucks, and then they start eating, and we have music going, and then a band will come on at 6:30 with Billy Lawler, singer-songwriter act, is going to be playing this coming 17th at mm-hmm. Manhattan Beach. Mm-hmm. And then that will go to about, you know, 7:15, 7:20. Then we have a comic MC introducing and, you know, shouting out sponsors, and we'll have a photo booth going and all kinds of, you know, sponsor tents for people to go check out. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start, you know, people, the MC will get people to volunteer to be in the game that will start around 7:45. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a live audience participated game with 3 or 4 contestants that, you know, are lucky enough to get in it and be part of it. And it'll be some kooky, you know, thing that we do, whether it's a guitar, air guitar contest, or a lip sync contest, an obstacle course. This is all based on the movie. There'll be thematic points from the movie. And then they'll compete, and the audience will, like, you know, cheer them on. And then we get into the movie.
It's perfect. Being your background as a writer, and this idea, it really is a wonderful thing. Los Angeles, Phoenix, and you have another location.
I think it's Phoenix and
San Diego.
San Diego. Yeah, San Diego. We just did our first event in San Diego that actually Hulu sponsored and made it a giant free event, which happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Because a sponsor will come in and just make free tickets available to everybody and host the evening. Mm-hmm. And so for our first event there, we did it right on the marina, this park on the marina in downtown San Diego. And we did Top Gun. Mm-hmm. It was literally down the street, walking distance from the bar that Top Gun was shot in.
Right.
And where they sing You Got That Love and Feeling, and it was really just by happenstance that happened. So it was pretty neat.
That is amazing.
You know, that bar was doing some business after the movie, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was packed.
I bet.
This is the thing. I mean, I love this idea, and it has legs. I mean, it could be done anywhere, but you've got to grow responsibly and slowly, and you've got a life. You're not trying to build a billion-dollar empire. How is it going?
It's I'd love to build a billion-dollar empire, but I don't think I don't know if I have, you know, I've sacrificed all the, everything, the time, like just like you said. It's you know, it's
you
it's
want
hard.
A life,
just
right?
Even,
you want a life.
Yeah, you really do want a life. You know, you want to be spend time with your kids and your family, and
it is
very consuming. Even just going into other cities like Phoenix and San Diego for 1 or 2 shows in a season is really time consuming. Hmm. But we do want to stretch out, and you know, as long as we keep hiring more people and get such a great team. I feel really fortunate to have great event managers and coordinators and media managers. Then it makes it a lot easier, but still I'm the one that's piercing into new cities and figuring them out and figuring, because even in LA, every municipality, whether it's the city of Manhattan Beach or the city of Glendale or city of Pasadena, you know, they have their own police force. I got to figure out what needs they want, what needs the park wants, what permitting is different everywhere. And then you get into a whole nother city, and that's a whole nother bag of you know, rules and regulations. So it's going slow, and I think it's just about slow growth, you know, and
right.
so you can have a life on top of it.
Well, I gotta jump in here. Joe, you know, you and I have spoken about this before. Just recently, in the last couple of years, there here in the South Bay, there's been an explosion of cities doing movies in
yes.
the park, movies on the beach, Night Under the Stars.
Right.
And, I mean, literally an explosion. 3 years ago, there were like two of them.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden, boom, everybody, is Steve responsible for this? Is it his idea that everybody...
Partly his, it's his fault. Yes, it's
yeah,
all
yeah,
his fault.
Yeah, his fault.
But I think the reason is clear that there's a hunger out there, Jackie, for community and for getting together and with other people from your community. There's a hunger for that. The you know, Twittering and Facebooking and so forth is not enough. You want to get together with your neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's a the summer is just here. Every city does it.
Right.
Every city does them. They do them up on the hill. They do them in Torrance. They do them at the beach. They do it all over the place.
Right. I think municipalities are swallowing the pill. Oh, my God, we're going to have thousands of people in one area. Can we handle the security and safety? And, yes, it can be handled because this is life, right?
The movies are geared – it's family fare.
Of course.
You know, they're not showing, you know, anything that, you know, might attract a rowdy crowd or something. You know, that
– Right. And I think it's the idea of that it is a movie. So literally, unlike a concert or something where you could be drinking through the whole thing
right.
or something,
right.
then
right.
this is where you're really going to watch a movie. And if you've drank too much, you're just going to go to sleep, you know.
Right.
So it's not – it's like what I've been told by other – parks is like, we like, you know, wine and cheese crowd, you know,
right.
that's what
right.
they like.
Right.
Right.
A more urbane or family, you know, scene that isn't going to be rowdy. And if people are drinking, they're drinking like two, you know, two drinks, glass of wine or something. They're not at a rock concert pounding drinks. And
right.
It's tame. It's a lot of fun, but it's still tame.
Yeah. It's safe. As Joe said, it's safe.
It's all about, yeah,
mm-hmm.
safe and community. You see people you know and have known for years.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're all from the same community. It's local, more
yeah.
or less.
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
people have their birthday parties.
Yeah.
And, you know, people oh. all of a sudden will have, like, Sweet 16 parties. The one where we did Julie McMahon, I don't know if you his daughter, he was the lead on Nip and Tuck and a bunch of other television shows.
Mm-hmm.
Just randomly... His daughter had her Sweet 16 party at our show in Malibu, you know, and there,
right.
they had 100 people that they were kind of, you know, all of a sudden decided to just do this impromptu at one of our shows. So we've had
idea.
Marriage, we've had marriage proposals. I swear we've had a minimum of 3 marriage proposals a year now. Now we have a big marriage proposal package.
Wow. They were cuddling probably before he asked her to marry him. Cuddling, yes, they were.
Oh, wow. A marriage proposal package. Well, let's get back to the movies for a minute, because I have to ask about how – you know, there are so many classic movies. I mean, we talked about Silence of the Lambs, how, you know, kids 16, 18 years old maybe haven't seen it. But there are so many classic movies – that I grew up, that my parents made sure I saw, you know, Gone with the Wind, you know, Casablanca,
yeah.
You know, classic movies. How far back do you go? Like, you know, like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, you know, a great, great
mm-hmm.
movie that there are probably a couple of generations that haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Correct. We go far. We did Casablanca this year. We did Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Okay.
And we did Some Like It Hot, you know.
Wow.
But then we're also doing Pitch Perfect and
right.
Bridesmaids. So movies that are, you know, contemporary. So we go from the whole gamut.
Wow.
Some Like It Hot. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a fun film.
See, that would be the hardest thing for me is picking the movie, you know? Oh, my goodness.
It's you know, like I just watched Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and it's slow in places. I think you might lose a modern audience.
Yes.
But Some Like It Hot, that's Billy Wilder, one of the greatest directors in Hollywood ever. Not a second is wasted. Every scene is, wow.
But wait a minute. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid has the beginning sequence is like 20 minutes nonstop.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, it's a great sequence. After that, the 20 minutes, you need to take a break. you need to take a breath. You're never going to hear me say a bad thing about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. That's
right.
A great movie.
It is.
It is, yeah.
But it's, you know, we can't do obscure films like, you know, that's what we have to do. Like Butch Cassidy, you know, it's permanent film in the, you know, the greater, you know, cinematic, you know, labyrinth of films. So
right.
We need to do that, has that kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, like a brand behind it already, if it's going to be older.
Right.
So we need for people to, or younger people just have some recognition of the title. If they don't recognize it at all, there's tons of movies I'd love to do, but, you know, that are a little more obscure, but we just can't do them because they won't draw.
Give us an example.
Yeah, give us an example.
Well, it's not even that old. Unforgiven, I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh,
but
yes.
Clint Eastwood, you know, won his first Academy Award, or at least I know he won the Academy Award for directing.
Director,
which is
yeah.
one of my favorite movies, but it's
right.
you know, it's a bunch of old guys in a western, and
right.
and
right.
it's a beautiful, amazing movie, and we did that, and it was just a big flop for us because
right.
you know, just the draw is not there. And there's another thing, I think women or females basically drive a lot of the ticket sales.
What?
To what we do.
What?
Yeah, it's really the women are
get over it, Joe. All right, just get over that.
It has to appeal to both men and women, but the women are making the decision. So it has to, like, that is, we have to take that into consideration when we're picking movies as well.
Now
so, but it is probably 50, yeah, it's probably 50-50, you know, guys to girls on the phone, on the field during the event, but the women are driving the ticket purchasing.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
So Unforgiven wouldn't make it.
I just watched Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw it when it originally came out, but I actually sat down. It was on whatever it was on. I don't know if it was Netflix or one of the cable channels, but I sat down and watched it again for the first time. And it's a dark movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dark movie. Yeah. So I can understand why that wouldn't work so well.
But it has to have, like Steve's saying, it also has to have that brand. So it had to have a life after the movie, almost. And what kind
right.
of had a life after the movie?
Like Princess Bride. That movie is so beloved by so many generations.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot – and I wasn't even – I liked that movie a lot, but it wasn't one of my favorites. But we can book that movie every year, and people will come out and dress for it.
Ferris.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
Yeah.
He has to die.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, it's another one.
You can show that pretty much every weekend, and people will just say,
mm-hmm.
oh, we got to go see it.
I think it was the 20th anniversary of that film this year.
Right. Yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, there are certain ones, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show that just, you know, they have a place in the pantheon of movies that will never, ever, ever go away. That's interesting.
Yeah, we had Barry Boswick from Rocky Horror come on. His kids had never seen Rocky Horror.
Wow.
And and so, you know, he plays Susan Sarandon's boyfriend, you know, that – Dr. Frankenweenie, or is it whatever?
Yeah, that's
kind of,
it.
He has an affair with both of them, and so it his kids had never seen it, and you know he and
that's
we had
just
a full,
bad parenting. That's just bad parenting.
Yeah. Well, they were. I think they were just at the age where they could. Like, I think one was 15, one was 16.
Yeah.
And so, or right around there. And so he came out, and the crowd went crazy because, you know, none of that cast will come out of that movie. It's been just so going on so long. But we got lucky, and he came out, and he did a whole Q&A, and the audience was just into it. And we had a 30-person shadow cast that,
yeah.
you know, mimicked the whole movie
oh,
with
yeah,
props and
yeah, yeah.
all that prior to it, and throwing toilet paper and all the other, you know, Rocky Horror, you know, props that people throw during the movie.
Yeah.
And, it was just a magical night.
Wow. Wow. It's endless what you can do with this, Steve. I mean, with the theming related to the movie, it just is endless musicals and so forth. It's,
oh, my goodness. Musicals.
Musicals.
We're talking about musicals. I can't imagine. Mm. Have you... Well, actually, before we get to that, I wanted to ask you something. How do you feel, Steve, about the when they remake movies? Just as an example, they redid Point Break. They redid Red Dawn. seriously.
I know.
No, but the original movies have become like cult classics. And to remake them kind of is like, you know, blasphemy to me.
Hollywood will do anything to make money.
Yeah, you know what it is, and I've been in the movie making world and marketing world. It is because it's such a risk. Every movie, new movie, is such an utter financial risk for, you know, the studios and millions of dollars. And you just, no matter, you can dump 10 giant movie stars in it, and it can still fail. So, they, if, like anything like a book, they would love anything that has an already built-in audience these days, you know, from a comic book to a remake. So that just guarantees them people are going to come see that movie because they love Point Break. They're going to come and see the new Point Break, even though maybe they're disappointed with the new Point Break, they will still see it.
I wouldn't go see the new one. Would you show it? Would you show a remake like that?
It depends. It has to be great. It has to be good. You know, I mean, I'm not, there's not one off the top of my head I'm thinking that's a remake that is great, but
yeah.
you know, as a rule, generally they're not quite as good as the original.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cult classic is a cult classic for a reason. The minute you remake it,
mm-hmm.
it's just not the same as opposed to, you know, they've tried to remake, you know, some of the, well, not necessarily remake, but like they do the live TV versions of like Mary Poppins and what's the other one in the Alps where they're singing? The Sound of Music.
The Sound of Music, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. Again, it would be sacrilegious to try to remake, you know, some of those, I think. But
it's interesting, like the Sound of Music one, you know, that was a live televised event. And that
right.
was so – and it killed it on the ratings from my understanding.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And that's what – that's what, you know, companies like the television studios, the best ratings they have are for live events. So,
mm-hmm.
and because people are, you know, now everything's TiVo'd and everything's digitally recorded. And you're not watching anything live these days, except a lot of sports are still watched live. So
mm-hmm.
they're trying to, that's why I think people want that live experience, whether it's through media and watching it in your home live or going out to what we can provide. It's not live, but it's still that it has a sense of like it's only happening now in this one place.
Right,
you know?
And
right.
it's that
right.
communal watching, you know, where
right.
you can talk about it Monday morning around the water cooler, right?
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
we don't do that anymore. It used to be like Thursday night, everybody watched Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And the next day at work,
mm-hmm.
everybody was talking about it, but we don't watch like that anymore.
Yeah.
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 Right, correct.
No, and that is something, you know, you got to think about it. It's something that has been happening since the mid-40s, early 50s,
mm-hmm.
this communal watching of television. It's now changed. It's changed forever, and it's something else. And so I guess the next thing is street food cinema.
Yeah, I hope
yeah.
so. You know, we're just lucky in California because – in Southern California, where we can do it. You know, we can guarantee at least 4 months of almost no rain. But, you know, it might rain in May when we're doing shows, and it might rain in October when we're doing shows.
Right.
But we have such the perfect climate for this experience and this, you know, event that we've created. It's just, and because it's so expensive to do what we do, because we bring it to an entirely higher production level than anybody really that we know in the world. So, and the size, just from the size of the screen, the quality of the picture to the quality of the sound that we do, completely unique. We have the sound where designed where it's like you're in a theater. It's as almost as if you're four-walled in a theater experience, how we do it.
Let's talk a little bit about the science of it. What size screen, what DLP, what kind of projector? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a 50-foot image on the screen. The frame all around is almost like 80 feet. So it's almost as big as a drive-in movie theater screen. So, and the, you know, to provide an image that big, you have to have these giant projectors, these very like art projectors, like a, you know, crazy expensive projector, like $60,000 just for the projector alone. So to be able to illuminate really well in a great resolution, so we have to have a big projector to cast enough lumens, it's called the how they rate lighting, up on the screen. And then we daisy chain, you know, high quality QSC speakers on either side of the audience. So they have speakers in your left and your right ear, and we don't have to crank it up super loud, but they're pointed at the audience. So there's a wall of sound like what happens at a movie theater. So literally you can walk 400 feet from the front of the screen to the back of the audience, and it'll sound exactly the same.
That's fantastic. Now, also, let's talk about the price. I went to the movies last night, and it's a nice theater with reclining seats and service. But, you know, it's still a theater, and it was $40.
Ouch.
Is that for two tickets? $40 for two tickets?
Yes.
Had to be.
Yeah, it's $39 when you get the reclining reserve level seating at Cinemark.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does street food cinema compare?
Well, if you buy the tickets online at our website, you know, streetfoodcinema.com, so you can get a $13 general admission ticket, or you can get the reserve seating, which is just the closest to the screen, for $16. And, you know, but you'll get the movie, obviously, but you'll also get a concert, and you'll get games, and you'll get music, and you get a day out in a beautiful location. So, and you're not paying, you know, $12 for, you know, a tub of popcorn. So you can get, you know, really inexpensive, great street food off these trucks or off the tent vendors. And, you know, you can get it all in for, like, if you do it right, like, you know, $20-$25 a person. That's dinner and a movie.
Right.
And a concert.
Right.
And some comedy.
Right. And, of course, all of these street vendors, all these food trucks have Square or some other service so that they can all take credit cards. You don't have to have cash. Wow. Things have changed.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it sounds like Steve's bringing back the older days when you used to go to a movie and you'd get a travelogue and you'd get a cartoon and there might be a sing-along before the featured movie.
Yeah.
I might be too old.
Well, it's almost like you could get, it's almost, you know, I mean, it's very different, but you could almost say it's like an experience of a supper club.
Right.
So, you know, where you're sitting and you're at the same spot where you're eating your dinner, watching a show. And us, we're watching a couple of shows, and like a supper club, you watch probably two or three acts. So it's very that, like, you have a blanket and you have a little, if you want, a little picnic table or whatnot, you know. So, excuse me. It's just like you're having this whole dynamic experience that you would have, like, at the Brown Derby, where you have all these people surrounding you and that kind of energy from a large group, and then but you're seeing multiple forms of entertainment as you, you know, have drink and eat.
I love this.
It's a wonderful enterprise. I'm sure you guys are going to be extremely successful in the future.
It's a fun night on the town. It is a fun night on the town.
September 17th, right here in the South Bay.
And no issue parking, right, at Marriott Golf Course? Is they got parking there?
No. Parking.
And there's parking free right across the street. There's a ton of free parking as well, or if you can park in their garage. It's the same,
right.
You know, either or.
Right. It's, wow. Yeah.
You just got to go get your tickets, streetfoodcinema.com.
Streetfoodcinema.com. Is there any story behind streetfoodcinema.com? Because I love that domain name. It's so iconic. and you had no trouble getting it. You went to Google or GoDaddy and you typed in Street Food Cinema and it came up and you bought it for $11.
Well, for 2 years we were working under Outdoor Cinema Food Fest, which was quite a mouthful. So we're like, okay, we broke away from, you know, kind of reinvented everything and started over, and like, okay, let's rethink what we're doing. And we just had to bring it down into, and ultimately the, its essence, which it is street food and cinema. And they just went together perfect, and we got lucky.
Yeah. What a brand. Speaking of brands. Street food and cinema. There you go. Wow. Steve, thanks so much for this. This is fantastic. Do you have any other contact information that you want to give out, or is it just streetfoodcinema.com?
Yeah, I mean, you can call our office if you need a if you're doing a large group. We have discount group pricing, and our office is 323-254-5068, but you can get that off the website. Just go to the website, streetfoodcinema.com.
Right.
We can give, you know, discount offers. We always love to support charities, and, you know, if a charity's interesting having a presence at the event, then we can, you know, integrate them in, donate back to them. So please contact us if you have a local charity in Manhattan Beach, and then we can, if you want to do like a tent or something, then we can help, you know, you promote your own, you know, cause within the context of what we do.
Oh, he just stepped in it. Oh, boy. Manhattan Beach has a lot of nonprofits.
Now, tell me a little bit about that. Yeah, how would that work for a nonprofit?
You know, they would just come in and, like, you know, if they call us and make sense and it doesn't really interfere with any of the, you know, the paid sponsors, and, you know, it's a nonprofit that, you know, they want to have, they can organize a booth and just bring all their own, you know, gear, which is, you know, an easy up tent and a booth and flyers, and they can, if it makes sense, we'll only do one or two per show, but all they do is have to contact us, and, you know, we work from pet adoption agencies to you know, Make-A-Wish Foundation, to, you know, local, just anything under the sun, as long as it, you know, it works with, you know, our hope, whatever we, you know, are trying to promote and do. If it makes sense, we're game.
That's with them attending and talking to the people, but you don't do the typical thing where you say, okay, all proceeds, or 10% of the proceeds from this event go to this charity.
Right. Like this event that we're doing in Manhattan Beach, a percentage of the proceeds go back to the Manhattan Beach Chamber, which is a nonprofit.
Okay. That's great.
Well, we know where everybody's going to be September 17th.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I hope so.
And a fantastic movie, E.T. Amazing. Steve, Allison, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. It was great talking with you guys.
Man, it's a great, great enterprise that you've launched, and we're so thankful to promote it. We'll see you on the 17th.
I'll see you on the 17th.
Hold on there. And Jackie, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's the end of the week. It's Friday.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.